Yeah. Okra. It's fuzzy, slimy, and oozy. Sounds like something even the dog wouldn't eat. But okra has a long culinary history. It's found in everything from Louisiana gumbo to Middle Eastern stews to Indian curries. Since the season for okra is just about over, we're re-examining the vegetable many of us might have shunned as children. Southern food expert Matt Lee is here to dispel some of the gooey myths surrounding okra for this week's Last Chance Foods. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Amy.
So okra can be very polarizing. You either love it or you hate it. I've never tried it. I'm afraid to try it. Why should people give it either another try or try it after all the bad stories I've heard about its sliminess?
It's a wonderful vegetable, and most people just fear it. They haven't tried it, as you haven't. And I would encourage you to try it raw. When you see it at the grocery store, just bite into a tender pod. It's a mild flavor. There's nothing to be afraid of.
A lot of people, though, really hate the texture of it, the sliminess of it, which I guess occurs when it's cooked up. There are ways to get around that, I understand. Here's what Erica Wides, known as Chef Smarty Pants and the host of the radio show Why We Cook, recommends.
I'll sometimes just, like, roast it whole. And, you know, then you don't really have to worry about the slime because it kind of stays inside and it doesn't come oozing out. If you just chop it up and do it like a really quick saute, you know, or, you know, like a quick stir fry with it, the slime doesn't really have time to ooze. Or if you cook it with anything acidic, the acid dissolves the slime. So I think that's why it's traditional to cook it with things like tomatoes.
I've seen red okra at the farmer's market. Is that variety any less gooey?
It's said to be, but I've not encountered that. And I've grown it myself. It's a beautiful burgundy color. It's a pretty garnish. I actually julienne it, just thin discs of it raw, and toss it in salads. And it's a beautiful, you know, sort of dark red contrast to the other green elements in a salad.
And it has a nice shape, too, like a trefoil shape? Or
yeah, it has a sort of star-like quality once you cross-section it. And it has these little round BB-sized white seeds in there that are tender and delicious and probably good for you, too.
Wides also has some advice on picking out the best okra.
So when you're shopping for it, too, don't buy any that are longer, you know, than like your index. Well, it depends how big your hand is, but my index finger is pretty short. Because once they get beyond that length, they toughen up and they're not good.
You found that to be true yourself?
Absolutely. I mean, be the first to the bin and grab through all the tiny little ones that you can find.
Is growing okra in a home garden worth the effort?
Absolutely. In fact, it's probably better than farming it because okra, like ground cherries, have to be picked continuously. They ripen continuously over the course of the summer. And so, you know, unless you have a built-in staff of children and husbands and spouses, it's really hard to manage that crop.
I understand okra has some interesting relatives.
Yes, the plant is, it's a mallow. It's a soft flowering plant. It's actually related to cotton and cocoa. It when you see it flowering, you recognize that it's also related to hibiscus. The flower looks almost like a dead ringer for hibiscus.
Oh, so a pretty plant to
grow,
too.
It's pretty, yeah. It's gorgeous. It's a great backyard plant if you have a warm climate. North of, say, New York State, you're pretty much out of luck.
I thought you were going to say, like, north of 59th Street or something.
Well, most horticulturists would say north of Philadelphia, you're out of luck. But I've grown it just south of Albany and does fine there. It doesn't produce as copiously as it would in the low country of South Carolina, but it's still worth planting.
And what makes okra so linked to Southern cuisine?
Well, it's a plant that's native to Africa, and it was brought in during the slave trade to the southeastern U.S. It was brought in earlier to Brazil and South America, but in any case, there's this link. There's another link, though, as well, which is that okra goes so well with corn and tomatoes, and those are both New World, and peppers, in fact, all of which are New World plants. And so I feel there's this cosmic kinship that they would have found, that okra would have found its way here anyhow.
That's great. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you.
Matt Lee has written about food for GQ, the New York Times, and Martha Stewart Living. Matt and his brother Ted are known as the Lee Brothers. They are James Beard Award-winning cookbook authors. Thanks for coming in the studio.
My pleasure.
This is WNYC.